Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt. Mike Holt in the Animals of Canberra. I'm crouched down this morning in the bushes out the front of the most wonderful habitat of the most exclusive wild animals in Australia. Now, I'm just waiting right now for the first animal to arrive. So let me give you a little background on them first. These animals are so wonderful because they have adapted to live off the earnings and the hard work of all other Australians. And they have done this by fooling everybody into thinking that they are there to serve the rest of Australia. Ah, there was one animal that I particularly wanted to see this morning, but apparently she has gone extinct. That was the famous Bronwenus creature. Had the most amazing coif on top of its head. Silvery blonde, piled up high, and it communicated with the most amazing accent. Unfortunately, it had the bad habit of winging its way on gossamer wings very short distances to attend extremely high-priced events. Well, it was shot out of the air and no more does it wing around our wonderful country. Ah! Yes, I see it coming up in its assigned perambulation car. It looks like, let me see now. Yes, it is. I can tell by the wonderful silvery hair on top of his head. This is the Malcomus turncotibus. Now, Malcomus is a wonderful creature too, because it carries a long knife which it stabs into the backs of those it wishes to climb over. It does not go around, it just forges straight ahead. And there it is, getting out of its car now. Oh, it's staring around the environment, making sure there are no enemies around. And then, chin high in the air, it strides into the wonderful buildings of Parliament. This is a particularly interesting specimen because it's small and it appears to have a very strange sex life. We are not sure, but we do believe it may take others without even asking. It assumes far too much for its limited capacity brain. But it has managed to claw its way to the top, despite all these shortcomings. It's crawling into the Parliament House right now, and today promises to be very, very interesting, because it's going to come under attack once more. Next, we see Abatus Autahia arriving. Now, this poor specimen used to be at top of the pile. In fact, it was the dominant creature in the Parliament House before. But Mal Knife in the Back Turncoat got rid of it by the simple expedient measure of getting the other creatures behind him. He plunged that long knife into Avitus's back, and since then, this poor old Avitus out of here has snuck around, sniping from the periphery, while unable to see how it may get back on top. It is truly a sad sight to see, my friends. And if you ever see an Avitus around the place, give it a good pat on the back and some commiseration, because it certainly needs some of that. I leave you now, because Parliament House is about to resume, and I don't want to be anywhere near the terrible fights and arguments and slurs and insults that get regularly thrown around. Thank you for listening. Well, good morning, afternoon. Hello in the world, wherever you are. And thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you enjoy that little vignette describing the shenanigans that are going on in Parliament and have been going on for a long time. Of course, the big problem that we face is we have a Parliament run by the political parties that do not represent we the people. And this, of course, is causing all sorts of trouble and will continue to do so while we allow this very crazy situation to continue. As I've said before, the political parties don't represent we the people anymore. They tell us that we can vote them in, and of course they will then rule the roost and tell us what to do. We can't go on this way. Here's one of my favourite songs, The Kinks, Turning Japanese.
Welcome back. This is Mike Holt, your host for the Restore Australia show. I'd like to ask you, are you tired of the political circus, the constant seesawing between one major party or the other, the constant fighting in Parliament, the name-calling, the childish behaviour? Wouldn't you like to have a direct say in how we are governed? Well, you can. It's called citizens-initiated referendums, or, to put it another way, direct democracy. Now, for too long, the political parties have dictated how we live in our lives, what laws we obey, and so on. The banks rip us off while making billions of dollars for doing nothing for us, and they're not regulated by the government much. Our manufacturing industry is almost completely wiped out. Farmers are going broke, losing their land, or even committing suicide in despair, and these are the lifeblood of a nation. And the government is selling off our resources for a pittance to overseas governments and overseas companies, corporations, and what do we get in return? Nothing. This cannot go on anymore. We only have to look at the lessons of history to understand that when a government pushes its people to the brink, as we are being pushed, something's going to give. And it's not us. Everywhere I go, I meet ordinary Aussies who are fed up. They're fed up with the treatment they're getting. They're fed up with fighting to make a living. But until now, they've not had anyone they can place their trust in to change the whole rotten, corrupt system. So I have decided to run for the Senate as an independent, and I'm asking you to put your trust in me. Now that Turncoat has stabbed Tony Abbott in the back, that's two coups in 5 years, I just couldn't sit back and let this continue. Have we become a bankrupt, morally bankrupt, third world country? A tin pot dictatorship? Now, why should you put your trust in me? Well, my platform is available for everyone to read. It's on our website at restoreaustralia.org.au. And under downloads, you'll see there, download the draft constitution. This is what I stand for. It's the kind of Australia I think a lot of Aussies would like to pass on to their kids and their descendants. Now, you may not agree with everything in this draft constitution, and that's what it is. It's a draft. But I believe you will finish reading it and think a lot about it makes uncommon good common sense. Now, if you agree and you would like to have a say in how our government is run, if you would like to see the political system reformed so that it serves we the people and not the political parties, then please support my bid for the Senate. I can promise you this, that if I'm elected to Parliament, they will not know what has hit it. We must and we will get citizens-initiated referendums for every voter in the nation if we are to survive into the future. The current government system is destroying our nation. We cannot let this continue. So if I get into Parliament, I am determined to bring about citizens-initiated referendums. How will I do that? Well, Restore Australia already has a bill ready to submit to Parliament to amend Section 128 to give all voters the right to start a. So armed with a draft constitution and the CIR bill, I'm ready. I'm ready to go in there and fight for you. Now, there seems to be a little bit of confusion about voting for senators and voting for politicians into the lower house. So let me make this clear. You live in an electorate. I live in Fairfax, for instance. Now, in Fairfax, there are about 98,000 people, all voters, and we vote for one candidate who then goes into the lower house. Now, if you are lucky enough to have an independent candidate standing in your electorate, please vote for him, as long as he supports the basic principles that we are proposing here from Restore Australia. We want people going into Parliament to sit in the lower house who are willing to work for we the people. Believe me, the political party candidates will not be doing that. They'll be going in there to serve the needs of their political party. Now, because I'm running for the Senate, if I am elected, will be representing all of Queensland. So everybody in Queensland has the opportunity to vote for me as a Senate candidate. Please think about this, and let's make sure that from now on, we have people who want to serve the nation, not themselves, not their party. It's time for Mighty Mo!
Mighty Mo!
I'm standing outside Mighty Mo's tent, and I have just been given some exciting news, listeners. Foster, Bluey, and Anorexic have packed their bags, and they are about to head off to the nearest port and sail back to Australia. They're probably a bit early, because Australia has not been discovered yet, unless you believe the claims of the crazy Muslim. Be that as it may, let's head back into Mighty Mo's tent and listen in to the sad farewell. Ah, come in, my dear friends. Are you all packed and ready to leave?
Yeah, that we are, mate. We've just come back to say goodbye.
Well, I have been thinking about that, and I have decided that you must not leave me. You see, I have my eye on the beautiful Anna, and you, Foster, are standing in my way. Look around you. The walls of my tent are lined with my Muslim fanatics. But let's make some sport and fight it out. If you win, you get to leave Medina. If not, well, it won't matter because you and Bluey will be dead.
Sounds like a plan to me. What do you reckon, Bluey?
Mate, you'd better warn him, hadn't you?
Why? Let him find out for himself.
Warn me? Warn me? Are you crazy? You are outnumbered 10-1, and you think you need to warn me?
Mate, we might look like a couple of old bogans from Logan, but what you don't know is that we are trained killers, my friend. We was Aussie commandos, and we are the toughest bastards you'll ever meet.
Tough? How tough are you? I guarantee you are no match for my men.
Mate, how's this for tough? Our commanding officer marched us all up the tallest mountain in Australia, stark naked in the middle of a blizzard.
So, my men march across whole deserts wrapped in bags.
Yeah, but when we got up to the top of the mountain, he lined us all up at attention on an inspection. There we were standing in two straight lines. He marched down the front line inspecting us, and then stopped at one of our boys and whipped his swagger stick across the poor bloke's face. Then he yelled,
"Did that hurt, soldier?"
"No, sir."
"Why not?"
"Because I'm a bloody commando, sir."
Then he walked on a bit, stopped, and whacked another soldier across his chest.
"Did that hurt, soldier?"
"No, sir."
"Why not?"
"Because I'm a bloody commando, sir."
Then the CO walked up to me. Now, you've got to remember, we're standing stark bollocks naked in a freezing blizzard, so I can't feel nothing anyway. The CO looks me up and down and sees this huge boner sticking out from between the top of me legs. He brings his swagger stick up as high as he can and swings it down as hard as he can. Then he cries out,
Did that hurt, soldier?
And I says, calm as you like.
No, sir. Why not, soldier?
Because it belongs to the bloke behind me, sir. Now, are you sure you want to have a go at us? Because Bluey and me, we're ready.
That's a bit scary.
Come on, Mo, make up your mind.
Out, out, all of you, out. You too, Foskin. Go on, get out.
Well, there you have it, listeners. Mighty Mo is too cowardly to face just two good Aussies. Let's hope he never sends his troops to Australia. There's no telling what will happen to them. And so, as we wave goodbye to Foster, Bluey and Anna, walking off into the sunset, I sit here watching it go down, a glass of good old arak in me hand. Tune in next week to hear more adventures of
Mighty Mo.
We've seen an attack and murder of a police worker outside Parramatta Police Station. Luckily, the police destroyed that terrorist. He certainly didn't belong in this world. But what we have seen since then just makes me sick. First of all, where is the outrage coming from the Muslim community? Has anybody heard one Muslim get up and apologize for this latest terrorist attack? Has one Muslim gotten up and said, we are really, really sorry about this and it won't happen again because we are going to take this situation into hand. We are going to make sure that all Muslims in Australia obey the law. No, we haven't. But we have our police and our politicians bending over backwards not to offend the religion of constant offence. Islam is offensive and it takes offence at anybody who doesn't approve of their murderous ways. Well, I'm sorry. People like Deputy Police Commissioner Nick Caldas has sought meetings with Muslim leaders, in closed meetings for that matter, to discuss what's going on in the Muslim community. Well, I can tell you straight away, I don't need to go from meetings with these Muslim liars and scumbags. We are at war with Islam. Islam declared war on Australia 1400 years ago. They have not stopped attacking the West. Why? Because their sick, pedophile, murderous ideology demands that all Muslims kill anyone who refuses to convert to Islam. Now, we've just seen in the last 12 hours, I think it was 6 Christians over in Syria decapitated because they refused to convert to Islam. This is the true Islam. Islam will kill you if you don't convert. Islam will kill you if you don't obey its very strict, nasty laws. Laws rooted in the 7th century. Barbaric laws. Laws that subjugate women. Under Islam, you can't take a drink. No beer, no alcohol. Under Islam, women are second-class citizens, worth only half the value of a man. If a woman goes to court, she must have 2 witnesses for every male witness. Her word is worth only half of that of a man. Under Islam, young girls are mutilated. They call it female genital mutilation. Unqualified men and women cut off the clitoris and the labia of these young girls, all in the name of Islam. Why? Because they don't want women to have pleasure with sex. It's only for men. We cannot afford to allow Islam to continue in Australia. And I'm calling out people like Neil Mitchell and others in the media who continue to try and defend this vile, evil ideology. You better wake up, because we the people can see very clearly what's going on. And if you don't get on side and support Australia, you better watch out, my friends, because we are not going to put up with it anymore. And we're very lucky that we have the Facebook and all of that. We can spread the word without worrying about the mainstream media. The mainstream media has really become largely irrelevant. Unfortunately, they continue to spread lies. This has got to stop. And it's written on the subway wall for all the mainstream media and the Islam apologists. Wake up. Because when the revolution comes, and it looks like it's coming, we're not going to put up with the Islam apologists. They are the ones standing against true Australian values. So stop calling us names. Stop calling us racists. We are not the racists. Islam is racist. Islam is bigoted. And it is. The future is written on the subway wall.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder.
What a great song that was. I'm very pleased to see that Britain First and Liberty GB are fighting back in the UK. Like Australia, they have the same problems, only more so. They have let hundreds of thousands, millions of these Muslims into their country in the mistaken belief that they could assimilate these people. Islam does not assimilate. Islam dominates. Islam conquers. Islam kills. Wake up. It's time to start fighting back. Now, I'm hearing rumors that the mosque, because the leaders down there are starting to realize that having a mosque down there is destroying community cohesion.
Well, hello.
It's not we Australians that are destroying community cohesion. It's the Muslims that are doing it. And I see in Britain, people are blowing up mosques, burning them down. Well, it's quite likely to happen here too. If these local councils continue to approve mosque applications, someone is going to blow a gasket one day. They're going to drive their D11 or whatever it is, bulldozer, up to a mosque and completely destroy it. Well, they'll burn it down or whatever it is that they feel like doing. We cannot afford to have these mosques in Australia anymore. They are the centres of the political, economic, social, legal centres for Islam. A mosque is not like your ordinary Christian church or your Jewish synagogue or your Hindu temple. A mosque is dangerous in any suburb that it is built. Now, this week we had the terror raids, and we saw those hateful Islamic women attacking the journalists outside their homes. Now, sometimes, of course, the journalists themselves are pretty bad, but there's no excuse for carrying on like that, and I'm glad to see it in a way, because it shows Australians the nature of these Islamists who have come to live amongst us. They dress differently to us. They act differently to us. They don't integrate. They plot against us. They go to the temple, the mosques, where they are armed and sent out to kill people. Where do the people think that 15-year-old got a gun? He went to the mosque, and then he walked out of that mosque, walked down the road, and shot that IT worker, the police IT worker. He didn't find that gun on his own. He's 15 years old. Where would he get the money to buy one? A black market pistol like that is probably worth $5,000 to $7,000. No 15-year-old Donnie, unless he's a drug dealer, but this kid wasn't a drug dealer. He was Islamic. Now, what was really telling about this is his parents have refused to talk to the police or help them in any way. They are in denial. Well, of course they are. They are responsible. They brought this kid up in Islam. This. If you are Islamic, you do not belong in Australia. And I don't care if you're a nice, law-abiding Islamic or not. If you believe in the Quran, you do not belong here in Australia. I say, Lila, leave Islam or leave Australia. Islam is not welcome here. That's all for today. I'd like to thank everybody for listening in, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you. This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time. And here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us. But you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.